is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Here we are, back for a shortened week, but that just means all the goodness crammed in for four podcasts across the weekdays, mate.
I sprayed a different perfume today.
Did you?
You know when you keep, do you have like a range of perfumes?
I have one. I'm so boring like that.
Okay, well, just come along with me for this story.
Yeah, please.
And this one sits at the back of my shelf, mm-hmm. and I got it out today, sprayed it. I feel like
new
I've
woman.
Rediscovered it, yeah.
Does the perfumes and aftershaves and stuff go out of date?
Yes.
Okay, because I feel like at the back of the vanity or whatever in the bathroom, I've got some old, you know, I know I've got an old bottle of Jupe back there.
Okay, well.
But it's probably 10 years old, so.
Maybe spray it one day this week. Don't tell me what day it is, and I'll try and discover.
Spoiler, it'll be the day when I've got this horrible red bubbly rash down the neck. He sprayed 10-year-old deodorant.
That's right, it's a
10-year-old perfume. That'll do it. Hanging about, coming up on the pod today, Once Upon a Crime. True crime.
Yes.
News team struggling for coronation content.
Oh, I don't know. You teased that they were, but then when you hear what they're telling you about, it's pretty interesting.
And, when did a stranger have to save the day?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to feel for Bronte.
Yeah, and also feel for my partner.
I feel bad for you.
He had to deal with the wrath of me, and you can imagine what that was like.
Oh, and the wrath of me now, and the wrath of everyone. It's coming up, Cliffo and Bronte on Listener.
You gotta fight! Can you beat Bronte?
Need to ask you some questions.
$400 is the highest the jackpot has ever been. And we're back there again today.
It's a high peak. I just got the nervous tingles that you get before, like,
all right.
I don't know, climbing a real mountain, maybe.
Well, this is a mind mountain.
Yeah.
This morning, and Jesse is the road in front of you that must be climbed. Jesse is a chippy, but also doing a course in cybersecurity. So, Jesse, I feel like you're a bloke who knows a little bit about a lot, maybe.
Oh, I could be, Cliffo, yeah. I could be.
Okay.
Well, that's all the trash talk I need to instill some doubt.
Out you go.
Okay.
Into the soundproof booth. Bronte goes, Jesse. For you, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, mate. You good to go?
Yep, just done.
All right, good luck. $400 on the line. Your time starts now. True or false, the moon has earthquakes?
False.
What does UFO stand for?
Unidentified flying object.
What is the name of the main character in The Little Mermaid?
Ariel.
Who sung I Want It That Way?
Justin Timberlake.
Bali is an island of which country?
Indonesia.
Okay. Don't need the 30 seconds, mate. Good job.
Oh, beautiful.
Got through all five. Confident answers. So don't forget, you haven't just got to beat Bronte here. To take home the $400, you've only got to level with her. The benefit of the doubt rule is always in the challenger's favour, as Bronte rolls her eyes to the back of her head.
To be the champion, you got to beat the champion. So if we tie, just know you're not the real winner. Okay, now I've got that out.
You're right?
Yeah.
You got that off your chest?
Yep.
Beautiful. All right, 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Good luck. I mean that with all sincerity.
Thank you.
Your time starts now. True or false, the moon has earthquakes?
False.
What does UFO stand for?
Unidentified flying object.
What is the name of the main character in The Little Mermaid?
Ariel.
Who sung I Want It That Way?
Backstreet Boys.
Bali is an island of which country?
Indonesia.
Who needs 30 seconds? That's all five. Good job.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's not stuff around basting this turkey.
Okay.
Let's just get straight into it. Producer Alicia, how did we go?
So true or false, the moon has earthquakes. Both of you said false, but it's actually true.
Interesting.
So neither of you got that correct. UFO stands for unidentified flying object. Both of you got that one correct. Ariel is the main character of The Little Mermaid. Both of you got that one correct. I Want It That Way was sung by the Backstreet Boys, which Bronte got correct. Jesse guessed Justin Timberlake. And Bali is an island in Indonesia, which both of you got correct.
Oh, no.
So Bronte by one, baby! Bronte by one!
I won. want it that way.
Ooh, Jesse,
yes, I do.
Tell me why.
I didn't want it that way.
Oh, sorry, Jesse.
Jesse, you didn't take home the cookies today, mate, but you're part of history. Can you beat Bronte history? We're at an all-time high now of $450.
I can see our boss, Smithy, walking around looking very stressed right now. Do we have the money for this? We'll find out.
Jesse, valiant effort, mate. Thank you for having a crack.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks, all Jesse. Right. We learned is British and this morning.
59.
Yeah, still killing it in the game of DJing.
Tell me someone who was more pioneering in the dance music genre in the 90s than...
I can't.
Like, everyone had that album with the chubby kid on it with the shirt. The album cover had, with all those songs on it, everyone knows. Had a chubby kid on the front and he was wearing a shirt that said, "I'm number one, so why try harder?" Can't remember the name of the album, but geez, that was a good shirt.
Sticks with you.
He's playing in Brisbane. So the only Queensland gig is in Brisbane at River Stage.
Oh, wow.
I've heard of that before, but I've never been. Is it?
It's big. It's like an outdoor one right on the river there when you first drive
South
into
Bank
Brisbane.
Or something? Or?
No, it's in the city, just behind Parliament House.
Is it good?
It's good for a gig like that where you want to be outside under the stars and, that'll
be
a
good
one.
Can you see the river, like, from the...
No, you can probably smell it, though.
The old brown snake. But the thing is, the gig is on a Wednesday night and all of the Fatboy Slim fans are like, Wednesday ain't very dancey.
No, it's not.
Because he played Melbourne on Friday night.
That's a dancey night.
Melbourne, on Friday.
Mm.
Saturday?
Dancey.
Dancey. I could even get a little bit of a foot tap happening on a Sunday.
I reckon you could.
But a midweek Wednesday.
That's crazy.
Dance concert. What are you doing, Mr. Boy?
There's no...
Mr. Fat Boy.
Mr. Slim.
Mr. Slim. But he was asked, like, by a reporter, what is your advice for fans who come to your gig on Wednesday and probably party a little bit too hard?
Mm.
So his advice was just head into work late on Thursday, tell the boss you've had a good time, or don't go in at all.
Oh, okay.
Which is advice that we've heard before. For, I don't know if you remember, you wouldn't remember this because you weren't born, but in 1983, and it's been played a lot, Prime Minister Bob Hawke, after Australia won the America's Cup, he said this.
Tell you what, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up the day is a bum.
That was in 1983.
Oh, perfect.
When everyone spoke like
this. Yeah, I was going to say everyone talked like this.
But I mean, bad advice.
But, I mean, if the Australian Prime Minister said it at one point, then what's wrong with Fat Boy Mr. Slim saying it?
Yeah, hey.
Mr. Slim for Prime Minister,
Mr.
I say.
Mr. Slim, thank you very much.
Okay, so I know my partner Dylan is listening to this because before we went into Miley, I said this next story, you'll hear almost ruined our relationship.
Mm.
He just said, please go easy on me. But I've given you off air just a gist of what we went through yesterday. And
yeah, sorry, Dylan, we're coming for you, brother. You're going down.
So we had the day off yesterday, as a lot of Queenslanders did, and decided that we were going to go on a little adventure. And there was a waterfall that we wanted to go visit. It's like the highest waterfall single drop. Single kind of stream waterfall in, I think, Australia or Queensland. And we knew it took around 2 hours from where we live to go see. And we decided that we were going to take Dylan's mum's car and because it's a bit bigger and we knew we were going to have to climb a mountain, essentially, if we were going to get up there. And so her car was a bit bigger. We get into the car and there's a quarter of a tank. And so we have the idea, okay, we should fuel up. Should we fuel up here? Should we fuel up a bit closer to the mountain? Blah, blah, blah.
At this point, you know, and you've both accepted, there's going to be fueling up at some point today.
I'm so glad you brought that up. No. This was the first hurdle because I said,
this is the first issue I have.
We should probably fuel up. And he was like, no, we'll be able to make it there and back on a quarter. I hate getting fuel. Everyone hates getting fuel.
It's like I hate putting on pants.
Everyone hates doing it.
But we all hate putting on pants, Dylan. But guess what I'm wearing right now?
Right.
Pants.
And so no fuel stop when we leave. No fuel stop along the way. We just keep going. fuel's doing fine for now. We get to the bottom of this mountain and the fuel light turns on.
I'm getting frustrated.
Yeah. And so we start climbing the mountain in this car. Fuel light's gone on. We've now decided to turn on the fuel monitor thing so you can see like how your range is. And so at this moment, we start having probably the biggest fight we've ever had, which is me going, turn back around and go get fuel.
Now.
Turn around.
We're about to climb a mountain.
Literally. And then we get to a sign that says the falls is only 10 Ks away and we've got 30 Ks left in the tank. And he goes, but we're only 10 Ks away. And I said, yeah, but we've still got to get 10 Ks there, 10 Ks back, 10 Ks down the mountain, 15 Ks to the next fuel station. What are we going to do?
We're 5 Ks short, brother.
And it was a nightmare. And so we're both just having serious panic attacks, knowing that for some reason we are still continuing towards our destination when we should, in my opinion, be going away to go get fuel. Finally, clearer heads prevail and he turns around. And we aren't going to make it to a fuel station, we realise. Like, we're just not going to. And somehow...
And you're in the middle of nowhere, right?
Like, we are. No reception, by the way. Yeah, because we're on a mountain. No reception, no fuel station for 15 Ks. We are stranded going down the mountain now.
This is how horror movies... This is literally how the Rocky Horror Show started. And that didn't turn out well for Brad and Janet.
Was there a shirtless backpacker with a jerry can on the side of the road in that movie? I haven't seen it. Because our guardian angel, in the form of a nameless stranger, we still don't know his name, we pulled in because he was on the side of the road and we saw that he had a jerry can there. And so we thought, well, at least we can see if there's some left or if he can give it to us. And this guy was so kind, I made Dylan go ask, and we bought his full jerry can of fuel that he said he didn't need anymore for some reason. We don't know. And he saved the day.
Shirtless backpacker. We adore
just
you.
Just randomly parked on the side of the road. He was staying there for a few nights. He had this jerry can.
Living in a van kind of setup. Yeah.
And he was just like, no, I don't need it. You guys have it. Have the jerry can. $40, which is pretty good value as well for fuel.
Oh, God, what a lifesaver.
13:10:60. When did a stranger save the day? It's a roundabout way. I just also wanted to tell the story so I could throw my partner Dylan under the bus a little.
Yeah. Number one, good on you for picking that as the phone-in thing. Because there's a lot of themes that we could dig into there.
I'm just going to retell that story every day for the next week and we'll pick different things
Mate,
that we can do.
We could fill a week's worth of phone topics with that. And there's a lot that would paint Dylan with a very different kind of brush.
Yeah.
But what do we want to know? 13:10:60 today.
Yeah.
You're lucky, Dylan.
Yeah.
When did a stranger save the day?
Yeah. Maybe you didn't even know their name. Like, we still don't know this guy's name. Mm. We just bought this fuel from him, headed up, back up the mountain. By the time we were coming down, he was gone. And then I was like, oh, maybe he was a ghost.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I like to think of him as just like he wanders the plains with his shirt off in his van, saving the day with jerry cans.
But if you were a stranger and you helped someone stranded, 13:10:60, or maybe there was some random person from the good of their heart and they helped you when you
bloody angels
needed
mate.
It. Yeah.
13:10:60, if you can add your story. Jen's here. Jen, when did a complete stranger save the day?
Well, they actually saved the day for my father. It was a bit of a row of horrible events that were happening for him. He was driving up with his grandkids to go to the movies here in Toowoomba from Ellera, and his car all of a sudden overheated, so he had to roll off onto this random little road wherever he was. And he gave me a call and said, hey, can you bring me some water? We'll have to try and limp the car home.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't, but on this little road that no one seemed to travel on for a couple of hours, this family from Victoria pull up and they only pulled up because their son said he needed to go and do a wee.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled up beside us and said, hey, do you need a hand? And we said, we actually need like a clip that goes around a hose to hold it on.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. They pulled everything out of the back of their ute, and they had this like set of about 8 of these clips that we needed, and they were amazing. It was just, you would never guess it. It was so crazy. And I even drove to Ellora to the servo to say, do you have any? And they didn't.
What?
I know, I mean, it was lucky, the best story ever.
I mean, the only way it could have been better was the kid needing to pee, you guys desperately needing liquid.
Yeah, that's right.
That story could have been improved, Jen. Vanessa's here. When did a stranger save the day?
So I was flying back from Brisbane and back to Bathurst Island, and I'd flown that 100 times with my 3-year-old, but then I just had a 3-month-old.
Mm.
And I thought I'd be fine. And my husband said, I'll fly in and help you with the bags. And I said, no, I'll be okay. And so I was at the airport having a panic attack because there were so many bags and there was a car seat and everything.
Mm, and nightmare.
Yeah. Troy Cassadaly actually came over and helped me with everything and helped me get out to the to get to the next airport.
What? We said strangers, Vanessa. Did you recognise him?
I didn't know it was Troy Cassadaly until afterwards.
Wow.
So. I'm trying to think of a Troy Cassadaly song off the top of my head. Nothing, but I know, country music superstar, right?
Yeah, he is.
I feel like he might be the boys from the bush and we're back in town.
That's so cool. Oh, that's so nice of
you. You should have had him to sign your luggage.
I should have. I was too upset.
Oh.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. 131060. Charlene, we're going to end on you. When did a stranger save the day?
Hello. So this was like 8 years ago. I was pregnant with my youngest and I was in labour and my partner at the time, he was drinking and we kind of had no choice but to get him to drive him to the hospital. And we got pulled over by the police and I'm sitting here like cracking my dad. So I'm like, oh my God, he's going to get arrested.
Yeah.
This baby's coming probably out the side of the road.
Should be as well too.
Yeah. And there was this man walking past. And thank God for it because he came up, he saw me hyperventilating. He's like, what's going on? He thought I was hurt or something. I'm like, dude, I'm in labor. I need to get to the hospital. And he spoke to the police and, yeah, we're off on our way. And I'm like, oh, thank God for that.
Right.
Wow.
Did you get a police escort to the hospital?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, the husband got a police escort to the watch out. Cliffo and Bronte with the old Alpha Bucks clue. Just for podcasting, this is just for you.
Buddy, and I saw this and it instantly took me back to
yesterday. Watching this yesterday on ABC Kids.
My little brother would watch it and I would like pretend not to want to watch it, but I absolutely did. Teletubbies.
I find them creepy now that I'm older. When I was young, yeah, sure, but...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of weird, man.
Do you remember Tubby Toast?
Yes. Why do I know that?
Tubby Toast was what they ate on Teletubbies, but then you could actually buy it in store. I think it was just like jam toast.
They don't make it anymore. Tubby Toast is just toast for fat guys. Anyway, Teletubbies, your free answer. T, your free letter for tomorrow when we play Alpha Bucks on Hit. It is King's Coronation Week.
Oh, my God.
And... I'm kind of excited to settle in Saturday night, our time, and watch the coronation.
It surprised me that you said that this morning in our meeting. You were like, you know, I think we're going to get around it Saturday night.
We're even talking about making the coronation quiche that we talked about on the Cliff and Bronte After Hours podcast.
Yeah, it's the dish of the coro.
Yeah, every coronation has a dish. Liz's was a...
Chicken.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth's was a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Charles has gone for a more traditional quiche.
Yeah, delicious, both of them.
All news outlets, though, absolutely desperate for coronation gossip and coronation news.
So they're all over there at the moment.
They're all over there, mate.
They're ready to go.
And this is the thing, like Sunrise has sent a team over there.
Okay.
And if Sunrise is sending a team over there, mm-hmm. they want news even if there is no news to report on.
Absolutely.
And it was pretty damn obvious how deep they were digging for coronation news during a live cross on Sunrise yesterday morning. Take a listen.
Some new details about the King and Queen's coronation have just been released by Buckingham Palace. Let's go live to 7 News Europe correspondent Sarah Greenoch in London. Sarah, what can you tell us?
Eddie, this is information about the all-important chairs that will be used at the ceremony at Westminster Abbey next Saturday.
That's right. We got 3 minutes on chairs.
No, you didn't.
Bronte. So would you like me to impart some of the breaking chair news from the coronation?
What's sad is
you?
That I actually do. I am intrigued. Because well, it's a long ceremony. You want to have a sturdy, comfortable seat.
They're sturdy, mate.
Okay, great.
Buckle in. There's three chairs. There's three main chairs that will be used during the coronation. The most important one is called the coronation chair. Mm-hmm. It is 700 years old, and Charles will be the 27th monarch to be crowned on this particular chair.
Wow.
It's a very important chair.
That is an important chair.
The other chairs that must be discussed are the chairs of estate. Mm-hmm. The king and queen will sit on these chairs. Think of them as the entree chairs.
Okay.
They're the chairs, though, sit on at the start of the coronation until Charlie moves over to the proper coronation
gets
chair.
Gets the crown on his head.
These chairs are being, we last used for the Queen's coronation in 1957.
Oh, wow.
And then you got the Big Daddy Mac of the chairs. You've got the throne.
Right.
Now, Charles's throne is a second-hand throne.
Okay.
He is the first monarch to reuse a throne. Mm. Everyone's always had their own new throne.
Own throne.
Their own throne.
Right.
Built for them. But you know how Charles is all about, like, sustainability and the environment and all that sort of stuff.
He
was like, no, 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 don't build me a new chair. God. I'm going to be the first to reuse an old chair.
He's just one of us, isn't he?
So he's one of the people. So that's the chair. Chair news.
What's terrible is that I thought you were going to tell us about the chairs that everybody else at the ceremony is going to be sitting on. And what's even worse is that I was interested to know.
That'll be the breaking news tomorrow on some. Let's talk pews, guys. Pew news.
This is your sexy fix at 6.
What a way to start off the week with a bit of a sexy fix. And something that you wouldn't normally consider to be sexy, I would say. But again, each to their own. There's no judgment in the sexy fix space. Is Tchaikovsky, who is
Tchaikovsky?
Tchaikovsky.
One word.
Yeah, one word. One composer.
There's a guy named Chuck.
So, take a listen to this music, Cliffo, and you tell me if it emotes any sexy feelings from you. Take a listen.
It emotes feelings. I wouldn't say sexy ones.
No? Okay. Well,
more of the boredom variety.
You're not an orchestra kind of fan?
I'm not an ABC classic FM kind of guy.
Well, you know who is? Someone who went to see the Los Angeles Philharmonic's performance of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, which you're taking a listen to. This is at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. This is a new hall in LA.
Actually,
that is
massive. When I was in the States, the little tour group we were on walked past that.
It's beautiful and incredible performances happening.
Is it like
there.
The Opera House, Bronte, where
essentially,
you go for nothing.
All of the fancy things?
Like the Foo Fighters aren't playing it.
I wouldn't think so.
Right.
But the Los Angeles Philharmonic is. And during that performance on Sunday, in that performance of the Fifth Symphony, someone who attended the concert was really, really enjoying it. Really, really enjoying it. So much so that the orchestra actually, they noticed it was happening. They didn't stop until the second movement, which, well done to them for keep going. Apparently an attendee essentially just had a full-on
Wowgasm.
Like what you hear
like
at
when,
the beginning of the opener for Sexy Fix at 6.
Yeah, like when Harry met Sally in the
essentially
in
that.
The cafe there.
Yeah, in the middle of a
God,
very prestigious theatre.
Lover of the arts of orchestra music. Go on. Give us an example.
It wasn't me. It was not me. Yeah.
And that's how Bronte got banned from the Philharmonic Orchestra, everyone. Boys will be boys.
That's what they say.
And I have no one to blame, I think, other than myself, because I was a boy. I did all the horrible boy stuff.
You were.
And now I have my own horrible little boy.
I was going to say, what happened? But you're saying, you were a boy, now you're a man?
Ah, yeah. Like Britney Spears. Not a girl, not yet a woman. I think I've graduated to man stakes.
Manhood,
thank you very much. But no, boys will be boys. And my newly minted four-year-old son, Charlie, turned four just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He proved it well and truly. Well, over the last couple of weeks, but particularly yesterday.
Yeah.
I mentioned just before seven, boys from a young age are obsessed with their
down there.
As soon as they are old enough to realize that there's something down there,
sure,
it has their attention and it grabs their attention and dominates their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
for the rest of their life.
For some men, for the rest of their lives. I like to think there's other things on my radar now.
You're bigger and better than some men, though.
Thank you. I'll take it. Charlie's not, though. So he's developed a bit of a liking for when we are in the pool, standing in front of the little water jet thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how pools work, how the water gets sucked down the filter box, goes through the filter or whatever, and it comes out,
out
really fast out of those jets, yep, right? And he likes standing in front of the jet, which is usually pretty harmless. Mm-hmm. He puts his in front of it. And it's perfect height because of his little legs. Like, it just stands in front of it.
Right.
And it's always harmless. Like, we know what he's doing.
Right.
And he's even said before, I like the feeling. We're like, okay, whatever, Trevor.
Yeah.
No skin off our nose, mm-hmm, you know? However, yesterday he was doing it when his bigger sister put her finger in the other jet.
Uh-huh.
Because there's two of them.
Okay.
Right? You know, jets have two of them. The thing you might know about pools is if you block one jet,
oh no,
double water comes out the other jet. So Matilda's put her thumb in and just like completely blocked it. Double flow has come out and vroom,
destroyed.
And like, he may never have kids now. Like, it's thrown him back. And he was like, oh, it hurts, it hurts.
Oh, no.
And he didn't have much on. Like, he was just swimming in his undies.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have the protection of, like, board shorts or whatever. And it's obviously hit him.
Like, pretty hard.
For the first time, he's experienced the pain of getting hit in the.
Mm-hmm.
But it did get me thinking, like, this whole boys will be boys thing from a young age. 13, 10, 60, if you are the parent of a young boy,
yeah,
or you have been the parent of a young boy, what was your boys will be boys moment?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't expect you to have a backup story here, ladies.
I really
if you do,
don't.
I'm open to it.
No, not that I can even think of, but like, because, yeah, I just have. What's so weird is that all of my girlfriends have had little girls. So literally, of the five or six of my closest friends who have had babies in the last year, they're all girls. So knowing my luck, I'll probably have a boy one day.
It was an eye-opener for us too,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah.
We had the relative safety of Matilda for 5 years before Charlie came along. But look, like I say, parents of little boys will relate.
Mm, of course.
Maybe it was a younger sibling. Like Bronte said, maybe it was a friend who had a little son.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was you.
Yeah, I know.
You were a little turd of a kid. But 13, 10, 60, what was your son's just boys will be boys moment where you just got your hand on your forehead just going, well, yeah, boys will be boys.
And that's the I feel like it's just inherent in some little boy. Like, again, it wasn't teachable. Like, Charlie just did it because there's something in little boys that just
wasn't
tells them to do
that.
Taught
behaviour, but he certainly learned his lesson. We got Natalie here first up. Natalie, how was your long weekend, mate?
Not bad, not bad at all.
That's good.
Give us your boys will be boys moment. Was this a friend's kid, your kid, brothers?
Well, I have grown up with three brothers.
Ooh.
So your life is just boys will be boys, I imagine.
Yeah, and I have two sons. So, boys will be boys.
I feel like you should be doing the show too. Like, you should be doing this.
Yeah, you've got
Natalie
more than I've got.
I know.
Have you got a worst example or a best example?
Best example was my brother's routine in the morning without fail. We'll go to the backyard and flip it out to do their morning business.
Yeah.
Together?
Together.
That's brotherly.
Bonding.
Brotherly love.
How old were they, Natalie, when they were doing this?
They were, I can't remember.
Too old.
I think 10, 8 and 4, and they continued doing it until they moved out.
No.
Yeah, and the thing is now, though, Natalie, you could get them together now at like a catch up or whatever. Yeah. Like they'd happily,
they still do it.
They'd happily do it again.
Yeah, when they're on the piss, they still do it.
So. Yeah, boys will be boys. Oh, look at the trough, guys.
Right.
That's it. That is the indoor example of literally what your brothers have been doing since they were toddlers, Natalie. Boys exactly. will be boys, mate. Boys will be boys.
Indeed, they will.
Thanks, Nat. We know that the property market at the moment is seemingly impossible to get into if you want to be a first home buyer like me. Good luck.
Just,
good luck.
If you want to be a first home buyer like me, followed by the awkward giggle, kind of says it all.
I'd love to get into the property market. It just seems a little difficult.
And it's getting stupid. Like, it's been stupid in the metro areas for a long time. It's now impossible in the metro areas, but getting ridiculously harder in regional areas.
Yes. And speaking of, there is a property in Queensland that, whilst it might have a price that you think, ooh, I could enter into the market with that. It does seem to be missing a pretty important part that you would want at your property. So this is on the Queensland property in Beara. It's northwest of Brisbane. And it was pitched as ideal for buyers who really want to live simply, you know, live that eco-friendly style. I've seen a few people like this just give up completely on like the busy cities and just go live out in the country. And that's what this property was built to do for you. It's just like a shed essentially, like very, very like basic. It does have, you would need to do quite a bit of renos on it. They've put in temporary wall insulations to keep things cool. There's some concrete floors, easy for cleaning.
Very basic.
Very basic. Very basic.
I'm a move in and unpack kind of guy.
This not might not be ready for you.
Renovator's dream kind of guy.
Are you also, like, where, in terms of when you're looking for a house, how important would you consider a toilet to be?
Look, not the most important. But it's up there.
I think it'd be
in the top 10 things.
Well,
like walls and a roof, I think are the most important.
Yeah. Well, I told you walls. It's insulated. Well, the floors are there.
Yeah. Well, that's three of the biggest things.
For
and
what?
A door.
A door's there.
Because if you have a house without a door,
it's not a house.
It's just a box.
Well, for $100,000, you could have bought this property in Beara, and it comes, as I said, with all the walls and doors that you want. No toilet. You'd have to BYO toilet. And you know what's crazy? This is sold.
Bronte's going.
110.
How well could I get to know the neighbours?
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.